Dear friends, thank you for taking the time to listen to our Hope Canteen podcast, where we look at one of the upcoming readings for Sunday for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 41st episode. My name is Steve London, rector at St. Thomas Anglican in Sherwood Park, Alberta, and joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. All of us are priests in this diocese. I'm curious how you are today.
Optimistic in that we've just had news that we're going to be able to get our vaccination. They've opened it up now to people in my age group. So that's giving us a bit of a lift this morning.
That's really encouraging. And I feel like we're sort of moving into a different phase in the pandemic. Like now that more people are being vaccinated, that now we're thinking through more, how are we going to come out of this? What needs to be attended to? Who do we want to be when the pandemic's over? So it's a different season, I think. And also a hopeful one, hoping that things will start to get more back to normal.
And matched with the weather as well. I think the beautiful weather is also at least giving me a bit more optimism. As we turn to our podcast, we have a bit of a striking story. I'm going to even say it's a bit shocking about Jesus. If you want to read it ahead of time, you can pause the podcast here and turn to John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. This is the story of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. You might laugh at me because I said it was shocking, but the reason it is a bit shocking is that many people continue to have an image of Jesus as being the wise teacher who is continually serene. In this story, Jesus is not serene. He's angry. He goes into the temple of God, and he finds that rather than it being a place of prayer, it seems to be a marketplace. And he goes into the temple grounds and starts overturning tables filled with coins, shouting at people and driving the animals out. He says, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Well, this is serious stuff. But what does it mean? Well, I'm grateful that Michael and Stephanie are here to help us understand.
So here we are with this stuff going on at the temple. We need to be aware that it's stuff that had to happen. The temple was a place of great beauty. It still wasn't complete. It had been going on for all these years, being built up to be such a beautiful place, and it was revered by the people. It needed to be a place where people could go and have peace, where they could have some time, a bit of quiet, and to prepare to encounter God. But they had to have these money changers, and they had to have all these animals because they needed them for the sacrifice. The money changers had to be there because there was a tax to be paid, a temple tax. The currency of the day wasn't sufficient, wasn't allowed. It had to be converted into temple currency. And so these were all things that needed to happen. But Jesus saw them and heard the commotion and was obviously very upset about it.
Yeah, it's part of why I think shocking is an apt description of this passage, because we see a different side of Jesus. It's where Jesus gets serious and there's things that he's not going to stand for.
Michael, you're right. It is worth mentioning these money changers actually had a very important role to play in the temple. And that's one of the questions we have to ask. So they actually did fulfill a function, but it seems that somewhere along the line, they had crossed a line. And I think they had gotten too far. One of the questions to ask, why is this so important? And I just want to point out something I found really interesting as I was exploring this passage. It's actually striking to my mind, if there is an event that takes place in all four Gospels, then we have to pay attention. So just a reminder, we have four different stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell the story in a different way, slightly emphasizing different things. And some of them have different stories that aren't in other gospels. So for instance, in Luke, there's the famous story of the prodigal son, but none of the other three gospels have that. And as I was looking at this, before Holy Week, or before the story of when Jesus is going to die on the cross, and that last week in Jerusalem, there's actually only two events that take place in all four Gospels. And that is the feeding of the 5,000 and this story of the flipping of the tables in the temple. And it's funny, now that I think about it, in the other three Gospels, it's actually during Holy Week. John is the only one who puts it in a different place. He puts it at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So that's interesting in and of itself. Why is this so important? And I think, Michael, as you were saying, this temple was so important. Literally, the beating heart of Judaism. We often think of, you know, there's lots of churches all around and we can go to any one of them. But for Judaism, while they did have synagogues in various towns, there was only one temple, and it was in Jerusalem. It was the center of worship. It was the center of music, politics, society, national celebration, mourning. It was just the focus. It was so important.
So it's a pretty significant point for Jesus to do this in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that point is that he's making?
Well, I think it's a very important point. So what is the temple? Of course, the temple is the place where the Jewish people meet God. There was this image that God resides in the temple. Now, of course, the Jewish faith was sophisticated enough. They knew that God didn't literally dwell in the temple. And Solomon, in his prayer, knew that God was literally everywhere. He actually has this funny image that the temple is the footstool of God. So God's throne is in heaven, and this is where his feet. But anyway, this is the place of connection, the meeting ground between the people of Israel and God. And in this, Jesus isn't just flipping tables. He's actually judging the temple itself. So I think that's a pretty striking thing.
You know, I think it's important to bring up as an aside to that, that this is a conversation that's happening within Judaism itself. Jesus is part of the Jewish faith, and he's, in a sense, acting in line with the Old Testament prophets, bringing people back to the true worship of God. But he's not doing that as someone from another religion arguing between religions. He's speaking within Judaism and within that particular context. So it's the temple that he's part of as well.
Interesting, because of the, you're right, Stephanie, it's reflecting the prophets and the one line where the disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." They're trying to figure out what's going on here too, because this Jesus that they've been out walking through the countryside with now is in Jerusalem at the temple, and he's there's an anger here that maybe they haven't picked up before.
Yeah, in John, at least up till this point, we've had some pretty nice stories, right? We've had the water into wine. We've had Jesus calling the disciples. But I think this, John explores a lot about who Jesus is and what is his nature like. And in this story, I think we see that Jesus is fully human. He feels intense anger. Later, you know, he cries. He does all these fully human things. But this is also righteous anger. And it's, in a sense, his divine nature being expressed within human emotions, saying that this is not the way that things should be. Don't stand between my people and God.
And I think, Stephanie, that's actually the problem. So Jesus has a lot of judgment for many of the teachers of Israel. He calls them out for dressing in long robes, needing to be treated with respect, always taking the first place at tables. He calls them out for being wealthy and for using the money meant for the worship life of Israel for their own personal gain. And you might say to Jesus, well, Jesus, those are just a few rogue elements who do things badly, but the heart of this thing is still good. And I think Jesus is saying, no, the heart of the thing is not good, that he actually sees the whole. So the temple is actually the center. It's Jesus calling the whole thing corrupt and needing to be not just reformed, but in a sense, a revolution. And so he's literally turning the tables. And just a quick note, this is one of the difficult things to understand. John, again, puts this in a different place in Jesus' ministry. It's at the beginning of his ministry. The other three Gospels put it at the in Holy Week. And the reason it's important in Holy Week is because it answers the question, why do the people turn against Jesus? On Palm Sunday, they hail him as king. By Friday, they're ready to string him up. Why is it? Well, it's this incident in the other three Gospels, because he calls the whole thing corrupt.
It's important to notice that he, in this action, he wasn't acting against the authorities. He was acting against ordinary people who had found a way of making a living in order to support what was expected of the Jewish people in their worship. These were ordinary shopkeepers, if you like, and Jesus was acting against them to point out that they were causing a problem here too.
Well, I think part of it, this is my take on it, Michael, happy to be disagreed with, but I find it interesting because, of course, there's all kinds of animals in the temple. There's cattle, sheep, and doves, and it's particularly in verse 16, he tells the dove keepers, take these things out of here, stop taking my father's house a marketplace. And why is the doves called out and not the cattle and the sheep? And my take on that is the doves were the sacrificial animal for the poor. So the poor couldn't buy the cattle and the sheep as part of their sacrifice to be reconciled with God. So they had to use the doves. This was specially called out. And my take on it is the sellers of doves were taking advantage of the poor. Probably the prices were too high. They were up. And he was saying, this is not a place to make a profit off the poor. Go away.
And it also puts another barrier between people and God, because if someone is taking advantage of that and making that price prohibitive, it says that they're keeping people from the worship of God that the temple stands for.
I worry about who was getting whipped in this. Jesus made a whip out of cords. Was he whipping the animals who then maybe ran to the door and took off? The doves would have been in cages, presumably. Or was he actually whipping the people? It's a picture I work with, but I have no answer for that. But obviously, it was important that he had a whip.
I think it was the animals. I hope it was just the animals.
That's a maybe good question. The piles of goods too. Who knows? It's one of those things, yeah, that the Bible just doesn't fill in the details.
I want to make one more point because I think this is crucial. Stephanie, you had asked why, and it's about this judgment. But with anything, you can't just judge and leave nothing else in its place. The question is, if this is corrupt, what are you replacing it with? And I think Jesus' answer and John's answer and the other gospel answer as we go along is that the true temple actually resides in Jesus Christ. It's actually his body that is the temple. He is the Word made flesh, that he is the place where the glory of God dwells now. And it's interesting because there's these traditions of the temple falling and being rebuilt. Solomon's temple was destroyed. It is, as you said, Michael, now being rebuilt in Jesus' time. It's not yet finished, but it's still a great wonder of the ancient world. But Jesus just takes these traditions and applies them to himself, that this temple will fall, but there is an eternal temple in Christ.
Yeah, and I think by John putting this at the beginning of the story of Jesus' ministry, he's probably pointing out that work of centering the worship on Jesus, on his own self, is going to face a lot of opposition. And that really struck me reading this passage this week, that he faces opposition everywhere he turns. He has the favor of the crowds and sometimes, but there's always people, you know, questioning him and getting angry about him. And it's not a smooth road by any means. And I think that's probably pointing out to the people that John was speaking to, who were in the middle of a really terrible persecution, but also to us, that living the way of Jesus sometimes will go against the culture that we're in, and sometimes will go against the idols that we've created for ourselves. It's not always easy.
One of the commentators makes the point that John's gospel in various places has misunderstanding. Jesus says one thing, but the people don't get it. because they're focused in a different direction. And then, of course, now we have the benefit of commentators and years of study to understand what Jesus was, the point that Jesus was making. But when he talked about the temple being destroyed, that he would be the temple that would be destroyed, people just didn't get it. And that was, it's important for us too, that we get it. We don't focus on the institution of the church, for instance. We should focus on the body of Jesus as being the temple that we worship.
And this is a sobering story for that reason as well, because the church is in a sense the parallel to the temple back then. Like it's holds the same place within the religion, within the faith. And it's important for us, I think, to consider who we are as the church in light of this story, and to make sure that we're placing the worship of God in its proper place.
I think there are some benefits, some gifts that have come to us because of the pandemic. And this is one of the biggies. We're being forced to face what is the church, and what's our purpose, and how can we fulfill that purpose? Because the building for now has been taken away from us in a way.
Yeah, it's a big question.
So that's a great thought to end on, because it is important for us in this time. As we come to the end of our podcast, we always ask this question: what encouragement might we find from this passage? And I'm just wondering, do you find encouragement for this week?
I don't know that I would actually immediately call it encouragement. But one thing that struck me about this is, in a sense, these money changers and these pigeon sellers and this whole industry that's grown up around the temple, they're doing work that's necessary to maintain some things and maintain some practices and structures. But as they're doing that, they've managed to completely miss the presence of God, which is the point of the temple. It's meant to be the locus of the presence of God within the community. And they're right there. They're right within the temple courts. And I guess it's a reminder to me to make sure that in all that I do, particularly as, a religious professional, to make sure that I'm not missing the presence of God, not missing the real point of everything that we do.
Say much the same. Again, yes, the word encouragement maybe isn't the best word here, because I have to meditate on this. Jesus, in lashing out, in a sense, is also lashing out at me, because I need to make sure that I get it. I get the message of Jesus in this, and there's work involved in that for me.
I think for me as well, as we come out of COVID, this question of what is the church going to look like? Because we're not actually sure what we're going to come back to. And at St. Thomas in particular, we're going to be having some big questions about some important elements in our life together. And I think this is an encouragement for us to keep God at the center, to not forget that there are supports. So yes, Michael, you're right. The money changers were meant to support the temple worship. And in a certain place, they were right and good. They served a purpose. But the question is, do they overwhelm the worship of God? And I think that's the issue. And some of the things we do may overwhelm the issue of God. We may just be caught up with the small things when, to use that old phrase, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We very much enjoy having these conversations around the readings and looking for our own walk with Christ. If you have any thoughts, we would love to hear them. Please place them in the comments at the Hope Canteen website. Until then, we'll see you next week.
Take care.